Pampana's First Nighter Program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy with an all-star cast presented by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. Theater time, Broadway, and tonight a new play is scheduled for its premiere performance at the little theater off Times Square. If you've never attended an opening night on the Great White Way, then you have the treat of a lifetime in store for you. And here is our host for the evening, the genial First Nighter.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Traffic is slow these wintry nights, so let's be off to an early start, shall we? My cab is waiting. Won't you step in? All right, driver, to the little theater. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, past the Paramount Theater, the Astor Hotel. And now, just ahead, is the little theater off Times Square. Well, here we are.
Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are in excellent seats, and I must say that this is a typically fashionable First Nighter audience. Glamorous ladies are exhibiting fortunes in jewels and furs. There's one of those fabulously expensive mink wraps right across the aisle from me. But let's get down to the business of the evening. I see Frank Worth conducting the famous First Nighter Orchestra. And here's the news about the play. It's a brand new comedy romance called Love is Stranger Than Fiction, written by Irvin Tytle, and co-starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy. Mr. Soule is cast as Mr. Blake, the publisher. Miss Luddy plays the role of Louise, his secretary. And the supporting cast is a star-studded roster, too, including Herb Butterfield, Willard Waterman, Virginia Gregg, Jerry Hausner, and other famous names. And now it's just about time for the curtain to rise. Here's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
Louise, look at that, will you? What book heads the bestsellers in Terre Haute? Purple Petals by Phoebe St. Clair, published by Allsop Brothers. In Pittsburgh, Purple Petals. In Montreal, Hartford, and Gary, Indiana?
Purple Petals by Phoebe St. Clair.
Yeah, well, don't stand there repeating my words. Benson and Blake is supposed to be the most aggressive publishing house in the business, and we haven't had a bestseller in 2 years. Then an upstart firm like Allsop Brothers steals this book from right under our noses.
Our noses? Mr. Alan Blake, I've been your secretary long enough for you to know that I insist on accuracy from an employer above all else.
Well, what do you mean? Didn't we turn down the...
We didn't. When I gave you the Purple Petals manuscript, attached to it were three enthusiastic reports from our three readers and a note of mine. Remember what it said?
Well, it's easy to say I told you so.
It said, I wish I'd written this book because it'll sell a million copies. Remember what you said.
Well, how on earth do you expect me
you
to...
You said it reminded you of a boiled orange, very soggy pap, colored on the outside.
Yeah, so I did, and so it is.
Yeah, it's in its eighth printing inside a year. Movie rights sold for $500,000, and you turned it down.
Must have been smoking hashish. But who is Phoebe St. Clair? If we could only find her and tell her that some unauthorized maniac in our office rejected her book, then maybe we'd have a chance at her next one.
Well, you've spent scads of B&B's money for detectives to watch the Allsop offices to see if they could discover who Miss St. Clair is.
I've tried everything and not a clue. She hates publicity. Oh, Louise, I've known for some time that Joe Allsop has offered you everything but their printing presses to work for him. Why do you stick here?
Oh, I'm just contrary. Or maybe it's that old proverb about rats and a sinking ship.
Listen, if we don't get a book that'll sell soon, there just won't be a ship.
Look at this manuscript now, Mr. Blake.
Oh, frankly, Miss Jones, no. What is it?
It's called Hard Flows the Sea, by a new writer, Stephen Shad Stronghurst.
What do you think of it?
Well, honestly, I don't remember when I've been so excited about a book.
That's what you said about 10 acres, and look what that turkey did to us.
It's not my opinion alone this time. Both Henderson and Simon have written 2 pages about it.
Well, that's always a help. At least we're sure of 3 sales if we publish it. Now, what's this?
Oh, well, Louise read it, too. That's her comment.
Last time I said, I wish I'd written this book because it'll sell 1 million copies. At the risk of repeating myself, I'm repeating myself. Louise.
Anything else, Mr. Blake?
No, no. Just tell the switchboard I'm not to be disturbed for the next 3 hours.
But look, Alan, it's after 5, and I got a very important date with a very important girl.
I don't care if you've got an important date with Rita Hayworth. You stay right here.
Oh, well, why me? I'm going to miss the 5:40.
Harry, you're our publicity director, and this manuscript is so hot, I want you to start thinking about angles pronto. We're putting all our eggs in this 400-page basket.
What's the masterpiece about?
Oh, Harry, it's about life and love and all the elements. It's a roisterous, boisterous sea story, and the smell of salt spray stings your eyes as you read it.
And after you wipe your eyes, then what?
It's Conrad and Jack London and Robert Louis Stevenson, plus women, and in Technicolor. Harry, get on your typewriter. I want the big treatment.
Well, I'm glad you agree with me this time that it's a great book.
Great book? Why, I couldn't sleep last night just thinking about the possibilities. I'm getting this man Stronghurst down here immediately.
Have you contacted him?
I'm sending him a wire. I've come to the conclusion that the book must be the story of his own life. The life of a reckless, two-fisted, elemental man who could stun a steer with a blow of his fist. A man who could crush a coconut with one calloused hand.
But you've never seen Stronghurst. Maybe he's 5'2" and talks with a lisp.
Oh. You disgust me. Here, write this down. Stephen Shad Stronghurst, at first sight, strikes you as the sort of man about whom legends gather and grow. The story that he crushes coconuts in one calloused hand, apocryphal as it may sound, is the most obvious thing in the world the moment your hand disappears in his immense paw when you're introduced. He is an elemental man. Come in.
Will you initial this wire before I send it off, Mr. Blake?
Read it to me first, Miss Jones.
Mr. Stephen Shad Stronghurst, Box 652, Main Post Office. Your manuscript, Hard Flows the Sea, has vague possibilities. Please drop in this week for a chat. Signed, Alan Blake, Benson and Blake Publishing.
You don't want to give Mr. Stronghurst any false hopes, do you? Vague possibilities. The only vague thing about it is who'll take the lead when the movies get it, Gary Cooper or Errol Flynn.
Lou, I think you've got a point there. Miss Jones, take out the word vague. And, let me see, this week, that's too indefinite. Make it immediately. How does that sound, Lou?
Very cordial.
That's an idea. Sign it very cordially yours. How's that, Lou?
Fine. That'll tell him in a lukewarm sort of way that you worship the very keys his calloused fingers type on.
I'm sorry, sir, but our mailboxes are strictly private. No information as to identity can be divulged.
I'm not asking for information. I want to meet Mr. Stronghurst of Box 652. He ignores my wires and my letters. I just want to speak to the man, that's all.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. This is a post office, not a date bureau. Goodbye.
So, of all the galling, nerve-wracking experiences, this one... Yes?
Mr. Howard Creighton, literary editor of the Daily News, is on the other line, Mr. Blake.
Well, put him on. Hello, Howard. How are you?
Blake, you've got something in this Stronghurst saga. I like it. I'm going to say so in my column. How about a thumbnail biography of the man?
I've sent over a character sketch by special delivery.
Is it 10% true?
Howard, this is too important a thing to joke about. Steve Stronghurst is a simple, down-to-earth man's man. He's been all over the world, mostly traveling steerage.
What else has he written?
Well, not a thing. Needed money one day, locked himself up in a cheap bistro in Marseille, and batted this book out on a portable pilfered from the local gendarmerie. That's the kind of fellow he is.
What kind of jobs has he held?
You name him, we got him. He was a bullfighter in Spain, a medicine man in Africa, a monk in Tibet, and taught physics at USC.
Sounds fabulous enough. What does he look like?
Howard, think of the statue of a Greek god. Put some clothes on it, and that's our Steve Stronghurst. You should see his hands, Howard. Great calloused paws that crush a coconut as easily as you or I do an egg.
Well, the egg and we. You don't say. You know, Blake, if you're not careful, you're liable to have a bestseller on your hands.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs only, please. Smoking in the
Now
outer
I see someone approaching with a stealthy tread. Yes, it's Larry Keating and a guest.
Tell me, Mr. Keating, I've heard so much about magic touch.
Campana's new cream makeup. Is it so very different from other makeups?
It's so different that you'll never believe how much prettier it will make you until you try it. Magic Touch is a cream complexion makeup that you apply with your fingertips. No powder puff, no water. You can use it anytime, anywhere. And it literally performs magic for your complexion. Gives you that new complexion loveliness that women are demanding today. The unmade-up look. Magic Touch provides a feminine, delicate, fragile makeup beauty. The Dresden doll-like complexion that women are seeking.
What does it look like?
Magic Touch is a wafer-thin cream in a beautiful white and gold compact. It offers you six new complexion-flattering shades. All you do is stroke your fingertips across the surface of the cream, apply to your face, and blend. Magic Touch contains a new magic ingredient that causes it to blend better than any cream makeup yet invented.
Do I use powder, too?
No, if you want the new luminous effect, and I don't mean shiny. Yes, if you want to give your complexion a matte finish. Either way, Magic Touch gives you a new, flawless-looking complexion.
Is Magic Touch very expensive?
Surprisingly inexpensive. You get a large-size, classic, golden-white compact of Magic Touch for only $1.
I'm going to try it tomorrow.
And believe me, you'll never know how pretty you can be until you do.
First nighters are hurrying down the aisles to their seats. The lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of Love is Stranger Than Fiction.
Lou, I'm desperate. I've heard from most of the book critics in the country, and they're all mad about the advance copies of Hard Flows the Sea.
Then why the desperation? You should be jumping with joy.
Joy? 2 weeks before publication, I haven't even seen the author to confirm any part of the phony stories I've been broadcasting about him. He hasn't bothered answering my last 20 wires.
Well, I've been trying to tell you, Mr. Blake, that Mr. Stephen Shad Stronghurst has answered your last desperate, frantic, pathetic telegram.
What? Well, why didn't you... For heaven's sake, quick, what does he say?
We'll arrive tomorrow 3 p.m. for interview. Demand absolute privacy. No photographers, no office staff. Wire acceptance of conditions, or else.
Or else what?
Or else, period. He must have run out of words.
Of all the nerve. What does he want me to do, shut down for half a day? What does he mean, no photographers? If he, for one solitary minute, thinks that I...
Yes?
I've run out of words. Wire okay. Come in, come in. Yes, sir, come right in. Have I the pleasure of addressing... What are you doing here?
Mr. Stronghurst is coming.
Louise, I thought I told you to go on home. I promised the man.
Right this way, Mr. Stronghurst. Mr. Alan Blake, Mr. Stephen Stronghurst.
Well, Lou, you idiot, open the door so he can come in.
He is in. Mr. Stronghurst, say something to pop-eyed Mr. Blake. How do you do, Mr. Blake? Will you shake one of my calloused hands? Not this one. This one, the one I use for coconut crushing.
If this is your idea of a joke, Louise, it's gone too far, and I order you to open that door this minute.
You mean you want me to open the door and leave?
I do. You came here against my order just so you could meet Stronghurst, and I won't stand for it. You'll be here any minute. Miss Turner, leave this office at once. Louise, Miss Turner, you're fired.
Am I really? Well, now, that's awkward. What shall I do with all those pleading wires you sent me? Of course, if I went down the street to Alsop Brothers, I'd get a much warmer welcome. They're used to publishing bestsellers.
Good heavens. Really, Louise, you're fooling. Surely you can't be. Tell me, you're not.
You're getting warm. I'm Stephen Shad Stronghurst, and I couldn't even crush a peanut with one hand.
Oh.
I don't know a Tibetan monk from an Indian medicine man, and I've only seen Marseille in postcards.
But I still don't understand.
I do my research in travel magazines. The salt spray that stung your eyes as you read my novel was stale eau de cologne.
Well, it seems incredible.
The nearest I've come to a notion was 5 years ago when I tried Shad Row and I didn't like it.
But, Louise, when could you have...
I write in the evenings and on my weekends, but you wouldn't know that. You've never shown any interest in what I do with my evenings or weekends.
Lou, I don't know what to say, but it's just wonderful.
Hello, Mr. Blake. I just happened to be passing by with my camera, and I... Oh, hello, Lou. Say, where's the big shot author? I got my camera all primed and ready, too.
Goodbye, Mike. Glad you dropped
in.
Yeah,
but you gave me the signal. You shouted, it's wonderful. So I came in ready to get a couple of fast shots.
So, photographers lying in wait outside after you made a solemn promise, Alan Blake. Of all the cheap, contemptible...
Now, Lou, please, all I want
is... Wait a minute. What's the matter with photographers? What? What's biting you, kid?
I'm fed up. Private secretary and shoulder to weep on for 4 years. I give him a novel I've slaved over that he'll make a fortune out of, and he lies to me. I'm through.
Well, Louise, now listen to me. I didn't mean to lie to you.
You've got my signature on this one, Alan Blake, but from now on, the B&B Publishing Company can go hang.
Benson and Blake Publishing. International Majestic Studios offers $600,000 for movie rights to Heart Flows the Sea.
Benson and Blake Publishing must have at least 1,200 more copies. Heart Flows the Sea. Express Collect Rush. National Book Club, Washington, D.C. Benson and Blake. Rush 1,000 copies. Heart Flows the Sea to clear backlog, unfilled orders. Advise new printing.
Yes, Mr. Blake. I tried Louise Turner's old address, and the superintendent had no
idea. Oh, what about the post office?
They said all her mail addressed to Box 652 is sent out to her address. But it's against the rules.
Well, I've simply got to see her. I can't seem to get anything done around here anymore. Thank you, Miss Jones. That's all, Miss Jones. Miss Jones, ask the switchboard to get me Howard Creighton, literary editor of the Daily News.
Mr. Blake, Louise Turner's on the other line.
Well, at last, let me speak to her. Hello. Hello, Louise.
Alan Blake, if I were in your office right now, I'd slap your face. How could you do such a thing?
Oh, Lou, now please, Lou. I was desperate. I couldn't get a hold of you. I had to do something.
So you fed the newspapers another pack of lies. I don't mind your telling them I'm Stronghurst, but the nerve...
Oh, Lou, please, don't you understand? I spent a week trying to trace
you.
Then
you released the yarn about me peddling Hard Flows the Sea to 20 other publishers. Mm. And how, against the judgment of your associates, and more out of sympathy than conviction, you published my book.
Louise, I knew that if those fake stories about you were published in the newspapers, you'd get in touch with me.
I'm the poor, stupid, struggling author who'd still be living in a garret if it wasn't for Alan Blake, the selfless, altruistic, philanthropic publisher.
Oh, Louise, believe me, the only reason I said all that was to make you call me.
Right now, there are a lot of things I'd like to call you. But the only reason I did was to say goodbye. Goodbye.
And the curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs in the outer lobby only, please.
And here again is the intermission that brings us our good friend, Larry Keating.
Yes, ladies, thousands upon thousands of you from East Coast to West Coast have said how glad you are that your favorite hand lotion, Italian Balm, is back again in the stores, made exactly as it was before the war.
I know a lot of children who are glad, too. Children's hands, wrists, and legs get chapped so easily in winter. And Italian Balm is so soothing, so protecting on children's tender skins.
Men also are glad to have Italian Balm back again. Men don't like dry, chapped, red, beefy-looking hands any better than anyone else. And they know that Italian Balm, rich, concentrated, clean-smelling, is the lotion to use in the wintertime. It's so different from thin, watery lotions.
So economical, too. Remember, just one drop serves both hands.
Today, Italian Balm offers the same pre-war quality, same pre-war quantity at the same pre-war price. Can you beat that for hand lotion value? Try it tomorrow. Italian Balm.
First nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act. And there goes the curtain.
Alan, as the junior member of Alsop Brothers and as a rival publisher, I'd like to congratulate you on the success of your recent bestseller, Hard Flows the Sea. Lucky stiff.
What's wrong with the luck of the Alsop Brothers? Last season you had The Giant Fell Down, and this season Purple Petals.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I only begrudge you your blind luck, that's all. We publish her first book, and then she turns around and says number two is not for us. Loyalty, she says.
Who's she?
Phoebe St. Clair, of course.
Who?
In the way you spent money trying to track down the author, who was none other than your own private secretary. That was the biggest laugh.
Hey, just a minute. What are you talking about? I didn't turn it down. I published Hard Flows the Sea.
Hard Flows the Sea?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Purple Petals. Lou said you yourself next did. And what happened? She dropped in our lap the biggest moneymaker since Gone with the Wind.
Oh, Louise, is Phoebe St. Clair, too. Oh. Yes, it was very funny, wasn't it?
Well, after that first brush-off, how you persuaded her to give you a Hard Flows the Sea is one of those unsolved mysteries.
Yes, well, I didn't expect you to understand it.
Personally, I think she's carrying this loyalty thing too far. She worked for you for 4 years, yes, but so what?
Yeah, don't think I didn't know you were trying to bribe her to work for you, because I...
No. She said, Joe, in spite of everything, I'm offering my next novel to B&B. I owe that much to them.
She calls you Joe.
Well, certainly. We're very close friends. As a matter of fact, Al, I have a surprise for you. Louise and I are going to be married.
Married?
Yeah, you know what happens when boy meets girl meets preacher.
She's going to marry you, and she calls that loyalty.
Oh, now, just a minute, Blake.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I wish you all the luck in the world, but... You're going to have some sort of party to announce the coming event to the trade, aren't you?
Well, it might be a good idea, Alan.
Sure. Of course, you won't be able to have it in her place. Lou's apartment is so small and so out of the way, I hear.
Huh? Well, small, yes, but her place is nearer this club than mine is.
Oh, that's right. Sure, Barkman Place, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, dear, you've lost your memory. Hmm? She's living on Northburn Crescent.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, how could I forget?
Certainly.
Yeah, Northburn Crescent, of course. Let me see. It's the number's... 614, that was it.
Well, really, you're only 600 numbers off. Huh? Louise is at 1246 Northburn Crescent. 1246.
Oh, certainly 1246.
Yes.
Yes, what was I thinking of? Thank you, Joe.
And furthermore, I haven't the faintest idea how you discovered where I live, but I didn't invite you.
Thanks. I don't mind if I do have a seat. Ah, it's a very comfortable place you have here, Lou. Or have I said that before?
You've gone over all the standard openings. Now you can leave.
I've known you for almost 5 years, Lou, and I've always known in the back of my mind that when I was ready to let go and paint the town red, I was going to ask the union for an assistant painter like you to help me.
That particular part of your story you can include in your next book of collected fairy tales, Mr. Blake. For 4 years, I was part of the office furniture to you, like your desk. The only difference was you never scratched a match on me.
Lou, I don't scratch matches on my desk anymore. I use that fancy lighter you gave me last Christmas.
Mr. Blake, isn't it rather odd you're making nice speeches to me after you discover I'm both Stephen Stronghurst and Phoebe Sinclair?
The only thing I discovered is that I'm in love with you. Now, what do you say to that?
I dimple shyly and I murmur that you say the sweetest things. At this point, am I supposed to act like Eve in Purple Petals and fall into your strong young arms with a strangled sob?
Well, if you did, you'd be able to write a better book than Purple Petals. How Phoebe St. Clair and Stephen Shad Stronghurst can be one and the same person,
Here is something easier. Your touching declaration of your feeling about me is 3 days too late. 3 days ago, I decided to marry Joe Alsop.
But you can't marry that... You can't marry Alsop when you're... Well, when you're...
When I'm what?
When you're in love with me, that's when.
Why, you overbearing, conceited, rude, vain...
I love you too, dear. Why do you think that Dill Pickle proposed to you? Because he likes the tilt of your pretty neck when you're taking dictation?
Maybe he wants to marry me
because... Certainly not. You think he wants to marry you because the tip of your silly nose wrinkles when you laugh? He wants you because he wants to make sure your literary output goes to Alsop Brothers, that's why.
Because you're dishonest and conniving, you think everybody is. Joe Alsop is everything you aren't. He's honest and upright, steadfast and reliable.
Yeah, and a stodgy, complacent, cigar-swilling hippopotamus.
That proves you don't know what you're talking about. There is no such animal.
All right, marry him. But before you do, tell him you've just finished a new book you're going to let me publish. And then see how fast the love light in his eyes drops into a deep freeze.
All right, I'll do that. I'll show you.
Yeah, and let me be the first to know the happy outcome. Phone me tomorrow.
I told you that the Martin correspondence is in Mr. Benson's office, Mr. Blake.
Where are the Goodley files, Miss Jones? Where are the Lessing files, Miss Jones? Where are any files?
All the files are in your right-hand drawer, Mr. Blake, where they've been for years.
Why didn't anybody tell me I had an important appointment with Gibson yesterday?
Mr. Blake, on your appointment pad, circled in red and underlined, there was a note.
I've no time to look at my appointment pad. Miss Jones, are you sure Louise hasn't phoned yet? Go on out to the switchboard and check the line to my office. Maybe it's out of order. Maybe... Well, she didn't have to slam the door that hard.
Mr. Blake.
Miss Jones, I can't wait. I want you... Louise.
I see you haven't changed at all in your old habitat.
Hello, Lou. Well, welcome back to the old habitat. How are you?
I'm a lot better than you thought I'd be at this time today, Mr. Blake. I told Joe exactly what you said.
Oh, you did? And Joe changed his mind. I knew he would.
We were going to be married in 2 weeks. Now he wants to get married Monday.
Oh. Well, Lou, I want to wish you, both of you, all the luck in the world.
Thank you. Well, by the way, as far as business goes, you can relax. I've decided to give my next novel to B&B if they want it.
Well, that's very kind of you, Louise, and Benson will be very happy, but there's only going to be one B in the name of this firm. I've decided to sell out. I'm not happy here. I need a rest.
Oh.
Well, there's nothing much left to say, is there? I'll drop around sometime, both of you, won't you?
Tell me, how did you know the tip of my nose wrinkles when I laugh?
Well, you just notice those things, I suppose, about people you like, I suppose.
Do you really think I have a pretty neck?
What are you trying to do, Louise? I've said all I'm going to say, except that Joe is a very lucky man.
Well, he doesn't seem to think so. I told you what he said. You want to know what I said?
No, I'd rather not, Lou. Let's just part the
brush. I said if I married him Monday, I'd be committing bigamy.
Bigamy? What on earth do you mean?
Bigamy is having more than your legal rations of husbands, isn't it? Well, if I become Mrs. Allen Blake on Sunday, there's some law that'd frown on me.
Louise. Louise, dear, did you say... Darling!
Please take me in your arms, kiss me, then go out and get a haircut and a marriage license.
Louise, darling, do I have to do all those things? Oh, Angel.
Now, dear, I said you're to kiss me and go out and get a haircut, darling. I said, kiss me and just kiss me, that's all.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. The curtain comes down on the final act of tonight's new play in the Little Theater off Times Square. It's a hit. The first nighters are on their feet demanding encores. Listen to them applaud. Next week, there's a corral full of Western fun for you and your family when another original play will be presented from the Little Theater. It's called Oh, Bury Me Not, a comedy romance you'll want to hear. Remember, next week, same time, same station. Join us then, won't you? And in the meantime, ladies, you'll never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Your cab, Mr. First Nighter.
Thank you. Good night.
Campana's First Nighter program, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events. Scratching and irritated skin can cause serious infection. If you are troubled with skin irritation caused by eczema, hives, winter rash, use DDD Prescription, the cooling antiseptic liquid that brings relief from irritating skin discomfort almost instantly. Ask for DDD Prescription. Trial bottle, 35 cents at any drugstore.
The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.